Kumlan Lavat Gemara, we are up to Dav Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph by the two dots, about six lines from the top. So we had an argument here between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, if one is permitted on Shabbos to prepare all the necessities for the bris as well, and even though you're Mechal Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer says no. Yesterday we discussed whether it's limited only to Milu or other mitzvahs as well, and we only mitzvah we excluded with tzitzis and mezuzah. And because you can always make it hefker, you can make it ownerless. Says the Gemara, at kan lepligir abonale. When do the rabban argue with Rabbi Lezer ele b'machshirei mila? Only regarding the preparations for mila, whether one can violate the Shabbos. Aval mila gufa. When it comes to the actual mila itself, divrei hakol. Everyone says doiches Shabbos. Everyone agrees that the bris itself is doiches Shabbos. Even though there's chilul Shabbos involved, it is doiches Shabbos. How do we know? So we'll see a number of different ways. Minolon, how do we know that? Omar Ula. Ula says, halacha. He says, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that on Shabbos one can mala their child. V'chein Omar Rabbi Yitzchak says, halacha, it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that one can mala on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to ask a question. Meisvei, that I'll ask you a question, and the premise of the question is going to be that if the source for doing a bris on Shabbos is halacha m'sinai, then it's a unique halacha, and you cannot learn anything from it. And yet we're going to find that Rabbi Lozar ben Azariah is going to learn from the fact that we can do a bris on Shabbos, he's going to learn the concept of pikuach nefesh, that if somebody's life is in jeopardy, you can be mechal Shabbos. If it's a halacha, it should be unique to bris, how can we learn anything else from it? And what's the story? Minai, we had the Gemara Yuma at the end, we bring a whole bunch of sources, how do you know? At the end we conclude, Chai Behem, how do you know that Pekuach Nefesh Doich HaShabbos? So one of the sources is, Rabbi Lozan Zayah says, Rabbi says, Minai Yilin Pekuach Nefesh Doich HaShabbos, how do you know it's Doich HaShabbos? Rabbi Lozan Zayah Yoyim, Rabbi Lozan Zayah says, Zayah says, Oymer, Ma Milot Shei Achas Mevor Shalot Amar, a bris which only involves one limb of a Yid. And yet, Doiches Shabbos, because this completes the Yid, it can push away Shabbos. Imagine Kal v'Chaymel b'Kuach Nefesh, saving the entire Yid, should Doiches Shabbos, should push away Shabbos. Now, you're telling me that Bris Mil is only Halacha, V'Yisal G'dat Halacha, Kal v'Chaymel Mahalacha Me'asi. Can you learn a Kal v'Chaymel, which is a logical thing from a Halacha? And how do you know you can't? Because of Tanya, we learned. We know that if you go into a house or a room where there's a corpse, then you become tummy as well. We also know there's a pint of blood, a certain amount of blood in that room. Then from a corpse, even though the corpse is not there, just blood, you also become tummy. And how much do you need? You need the size of Revi is done. And we say over there that the question is, if a Nazir becomes tummy, certain tumas, he has to take a haircut and start all over again. And one of them, the question is, when he walks into an oil and there's a revius of blood, is that sufficient for a nazir to warrant that he should restart this whole thing? And Rabbi Akiva says, yes, a nazir has to, and he makes a kal v'chaymer. The etzim, the size of a bone, if you touch a sheretz, a bone, the size of a barley, which does not have the capacity to metame the entire room, and yet if a nazir touches it, he has to start all over again, or she has to start all over again. So Revi is dam, which is so much more powerful that it can convert the entire room and make it tame. Surely a nazir should start all over again. So he was told by Rabbi Lozar ben Azariah, he said, Rakiva, the din that an etzim, a bone, the size of a barley, is only halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That a nazir has to start all over again, and you cannot use halacha l'moshe m'sinai as your source for another law, because it's unique. Because Tanya Amar Rabbi Lozar ben Azariah, Akiva, etzim kisayda, the entire concept of a bone, the size of a barley. If you touch it, you become tamei. Is halacha. Urevi is dam kavachemer. You want to learn urevi is dam, but kavachemer that a nazir has to start all over again. If he comes into a room contact with the revius of blood, but ain't done in kal v'chaymer malacha. So if mila is a halacha, how can we learn pikuach nefesh from there? Elam Rabbi Lozar says, Asya, you want to know where we learn out bris mila on Shabbos according to everybody? Asya, we learn out ois. It says ois by Shabbos, you know, ki oisi beini b'neichem, and by bris mila it says v'hayla ois bris by Avram, and therefore we say that. So we compare the two. And we say that the ois of Shabbos is pushed away by the ois of Bris Mila. So it's more a matter of so, tefillin, the kasab and ois, literally Shabbos, tefillin says ois, Shabbos should push it away, because really Shabbos pushes away tefillin. And in fact, one of the reasons is because we'll see, we'll learn in Gemara Menachos, because Akiva says there, it says ois by Shabbos and ois by tefillin. So on Shabbos you don't need tefillin because you have the ois of Shabbos. But here he was asking, if we see that ois, the dominant ois, is the other one, not the Shabbos one, then it should push away Shabbos as well. Why don't you put on tefillin on Shabbos? And what melacha are you actually doing by putting on tefillin on Shabbos? What's the question? Isn't it only the Rabbanon? Because there is one of the Tanaim who says that it's, we learn of Shemarta, the Chukah Zayis, the Miyamim Yamima, Yayim V'loi Lailo, Yamima V'loi Shabbos. So they hold it's actually forbidden to put on tefillin on Shabbos. And we learn from a pasuk in the Torah, that could be Mahatayda, not wearing tefillin on Shabbos. So, or maybe we're talking about making, producing tefillin. Ella, we learn not, Asi, we learn not, Bris, Bris. If we learn out bris, bris, it says by Shabbos is bris, and same pasuk where it says oisi beni venechem. It says by Shabbos bris. It says sorry, by bris. It says by mila. It says hello ois bris beni venechem, and it says by Shabbos as well that it says here. What does it say? By Shabbos. Sorry, wrong pasuk. Yeah, it says by Shabbos. And last Shabbos there's a bris oilam. Okay, so therefore you know that that a bris pushes away Shabbos. Says the Gemara, and we rejected pre-Gzeirah Shavah because we made it up and we can't make up Gzeirah Shavah. And this Gzeirah Shavah, bris, was told to us at Sinai, and therefore that's how we learn that. Says the Gemara, Godel, so according to your logic, whatever it says, bris pushes away Shabbos, what about an adult who didn't have a bris? So when he becomes 13 years old, the pasuk says that if somebody who knows of age and he doesn't make a bris, why? Because it's bris or hafer, he didn't take care of the bris. So we're talking about someone's bar mitzvah because he's a little cur of punishment. And you're going to tell him, which obviously is mila, not on the right time. So going to you, it should be push away Shabbos. And we know which bris do we follow through on Shabbos only if it's the right time. If it's postponed, shalei bezmana, it never pushes away Shabbos. But according to you, it says bris by an adult, it should push away Shabbos. God will see a bris l'chei Shabbos. So we reject that. Elam, asi, we learn out, doiris, doiris. By Shabbos it says, oisi beini v'neichem l'doiris seichem, so the doiris there. And by bris, it says, by Shabbos it says, last Shabbos doirisam, bris oilam, says doirisam. And by bris it says, an 8 days old, kol zocher, the doiris seichem, for future generations. So we learn doiris from Shabbos. And therefore we push away Shabbos. So I'm going to ask a question. So what, you tell me any mitzvah which it says for future generations overpower Shabbos. What about tzitzis? Because it says doiris, lutzchis Shabbos, you push away Shabbos. So for example, if you're walking in the street and suddenly you found that one corner is missing, you should be able to make the tzitzis on Shabbos, so you continue walking with it. We learn out the fact that by Shabbos and by Bris, both of them have three different expressions. Ois, which is a common by both. Bris, which is a common by both. And Doiris, which is common by both. And therefore, we learn more Ois, Bris, V'Doiris. Both Shabbos and Bris have those three sayings. Lafuki Hanach, all these other questions you ask me, the Chad Chad Hu Dekosaben. Only one of them says only Ois, like by Tefillin, or it says by, you know, by a Godel, it says Bris. Or by tzitzit says doidus, and therefore they don't push away Shabbos. So that's what we learn out. That's the ois, bris, and doid. So we have so far two opinions, halacha, which we try to repudiate, but we'll see later that Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah holds taketz halacha. And then we have this other one here, ois, bris, and doidus. Rabbi Yechon says, no, on makro, says the pasuk, by yoyim, so we dash by yom hashmini, the 8th day, I feel it by Shabbos, regardless of what day of the week it is, even on Shabbos, because it could have just said b'shmini on the 8th day. Why does it say b'yoyim? To tell you that regardless which day of the week it falls out on, you could always do it on Shabbos. Now, according to Rabbi Elazar, you don't need that pasuk, because he holds that even preparation for milah you could do on Shabbos. And he doesn't learn pikuach nefesh from bris, from other psukim, like v'chai behem, other psukim the Gemara brings an end of yuma. So therefore, he learns it's only a halacha. That bris itself is a halacha. Says the Gemara, somebody, let's say, who was tamei, he waits, the 7 days expire, he waits, then he goes to the mikveh, he waits that night, he's no longer a tful yoim, and then the following morning he has to bring a carbon, he's called mechusare kapara. As long as he doesn't bring the carbon, he's lacking, or he's missing out on atonement, and he cannot eat kachim yet, and so on and so forth. Now, l'chayla mechusari kapara, the ksiv behu, it says over there, b'yayim, any tame who needs a carbon, like a zav, or a zav, or a woman who gave birth, or a mitzayra, it says here, v'yayim hashmini, on the eighth day, they should bring the carbon. Following your logic, they should be able to bring it on Shabbos. Hachinam midoch on Shabbos, and everyone knows he cannot bring a carbon on Shabbos. Why not? Saying what? Ahum b'leila. That b'yayim is not extra to tell you even on Shabbos. That we need b'yayim b'leila. You should bring it by day and not by night. So Rabbi Shlokhi already asks, he pounces and says, what do you mean? Every carbon we know is limited only to daylight hours. Hainami le'beboye b'yayim b'leila for day by night. So he asks a question. If you're going to tell me, so before you answer that, if you can tell me, come day, not night, so why can't you say by bris also, by yom hashmini? The reason why it says on the eighth day is to tell you that by day, not by night. Nothing to do with telling you on Shabbos. So you know, no, we already have another pasuk which tells us that. Ahu miben shmoinas yamim nafka. It says from 8 days old and onward. It says miben shmoinas yamim yimelachem kol zocher. So we already know it has to be by day. So what does it say by yom? It must be to tell you Shabbos. So the Gemara, and by carbon, it's not extra because then you need b'yayim to tell you by day and not by night. Says Gemara, no, if so, by carbon we know that anyway. Hainam, carbonus also we know. It says b'yayim tzavoisei as the day he told him to bring carbonus. So we know that all carbonus are brought by day. Goes back to the question: these people who are tamei, it says that b'yayim we should dash and even Shabbos. Says the Gemara, you're right. But afagav the nafkam b'yayim tzavoisei. Generally, carbonus we know has to be brought by day because Moshe Rabbeinu told him that by day. Of Itzchak, for the people who are Tameh, we need a special extra pasuk to tell you by day and not by night. Why? Because Targadayim, our thought, Hoyil the Chos Rachmona Alei, Tereh Rachmona on these people. They're denied the opportunity to eat from Kachim. Tereh Rachmona, maybe the Tereh alters the laws or suspends the laws for them that they can bring it at night, so they should be clean as soon as possible. And where do you see the Tereh Rachmona on them? La Suye Bedalo, the Tereh gives them opportunities to bring kabbonas. If they cannot afford an animal, they bring a sheep. If they cannot afford a sheep, they bring a flower. If they cannot afford, they can bring birds. They can bring birds. So that we see the Tater made it easy for them, or as easy as possible, to bring a carbon. So maybe Belayla Nami lesson, maybe they can also bring a carbon at night. Maybe the Tater suspended these rules. Kamash along, that's what has to repeat again. By Yom, to tell you by day, not to tell you Shabbos, but by day and not by night. Mafko Ravina Vin has a question. If you're telling me that the Torah generally had Rachmanis on them, and you want to say because the Torah showed compassion when it comes to the how much they should spend on the carbon, so you want to say that other things which generally are possible we're going to suspend as well, and therefore we need a special pasuk day, not night. So let me ask you some other psalm. Elamata Yehizar Kosher Ben Azar should be Kosher. Normally Azar means a Yisrael, but here it's hard to contemplate that because the Torah clearly says that all activities in the Mishkan has to be by my Kohen, even their Kabbalists. But Azar can mean a Kohen that is possible for other activities. Maybe in this case it should be all right. The Einan Kosher Ben, somebody whose parent passed away, and until that body is buried, they are considered an Einan, and they're not allowed, a Kohen Gadol is the one who still serves, but they're not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe in these pressing times, when you want to help out these other people, he's allowed to serve. Says the Gemara, Ahadre Kro. Now that the Torah said, B'yayim, and not at night, what does the Torah tell you? Even though I'm showing compassion to these people, how much they should spend on the carbon, but all other rules that are forbidden, I don't change, I'm not altering. So therefore, these other laws as well, of an Einan and so on, remain the same. So that's Rabbi Yechon. So he learned after the B'yayim. He learned not from the word Yom, but the word Shmini. Eighth day, regardless of when that eighth day comes out. Shmini, I feel like Shabbos and Shabbos. So the Gemara, Hai Shmini, this Shmini, Miboyele, don't we use it, Lemute Shvi, don't we need the fact that the Torah on the eighth day to tell you, but not the seventh. If you did it on the seventh day, you're not Yetzer. So the Gemara says, Shvi, to eliminate the seventh day, Miben Shmoinas Yaminafka, the Torah says another passage, when you're 8 days old, by Avram. That's when you should mala. Obviously not seven. So you know, we need chad lemut shvi v'chad lemut chi. We need one to exclude the seventh, but we also need one to exclude the ninth. You would have thought start from the eighth day, but maybe the ninth day is also right. So we need shmini to negate the ninth day as well. So therefore, we can't learn from the word that says shmini eight. That's why Rabbi Yechon said, learn from bayayim. Because the seventh day has the mitzvah hasn't arrived yet. We go back to Rabbi Yechon, we learn from the word Shmini, we learn from the word Bayayim. Because Shmini we need to negate seven and nine.
Says the Gemara, in fact, Tanya Benut Nebraisa Kavas Rabbi Yechon, like Rabbi Yechon would look at Rabbi Achava Yaakov. It says in the Braisa as follows. And then the Gemara is going to work through the Braisa, understanding what the Braisa is all about. The Braisa says, Shmini, first thing Braisa says, Rabbi Achava Yaakov is right. We learn from the fact that it says in the Pasuk, 8 day, Yemal, you should circumcise at Philip of Shabbos, even on Shabbos. I would say b'shar melachas chutz mila, any other melacha except bris mila. Bris mila you permit to do on Shabbos. And why would I say that? Because the word shmini. Then the Braise says, but maybe I'm wrong. Even mila you cannot do on Shabbos. Why does it say the 8 day? Yimol chutz Shabbos. 8 day means the 8 day the child is born, except if it falls on a Shabbos. Ultimately, we have to learn from the word yom. Afilu b'Shabbos. Omar Rava says, Rava, hi Tana, I don't understand. What changed the Tana's mind? First, the Tana started off like Rabbi Acha, he learns for Shemini, then he doesn't like it, and he says, and he learns for Shemini that the 8 day means even Shabbos, and when you're not desperate Shabbos, talk about everything else, and then he changes to Bayeim. What happened here? Omar Rava, hi Tana, me, kodem akunichle, v'sem akunichashle. Why was he pleased in the beginning? And then he decided to change his mind. So the Gemara said like this, we're going to learn degrees of severity. So you have Shabbos, obviously, which is very severe, but then you have a kohen doing the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. You bring kabbonis on Shabbos as well, which proves the avodah is even more severe than Shabbos. And then we have a rule that a kohen that has leprosy on himself, he's not allowed to remove the leprosy in order to do his avodah. It has to remain there, and he cannot do the avodah. So we see that leprosy is stricter than avodah, and avodah is stricter than Shabbos. And we're going to find that bris mila is stricter than leprosy, because we're going to learn that a bris of a child, even though there's leprosy on that very spot where you're going to do the bris, you're going to be cutting it off, you're allowed to. So we see if bris is stronger than leprosy, and leprosy is stronger than avodah, and avodah is stronger than Shabbos, ultimately bris is stronger than Shabbos. That's what the Tana thought in the beginning. What changes mind, we'll see in a minute. Hachikama, this is what the Tana says. Shmini, Yochav, even Shabbos, can be me. It's a man, Mekhaina Chalazuma. I say, shouldn't desecrate Shabbos. Is Bisham, a local Mulim, me, talk about anything else. But Mila, Abba Mila, the Dachya, in my time, why was the Tana so convinced that that's how it is? Because Kabachaimu, it makes sense. A logical thing. Matzaras, Shaddech Lavoidah, if a Kohen has leprosy, he cannot serve the Beis HaMikdash. Which shows that Taras is stricter than Avoidah. And Avodah Derech Shabbos, and yet we see that we do bring Kabbonis in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, which means Avodah is stronger than Shabbos, repels Shabbos, or overrides Shabbos. And Mila Derech HaYisrael, Mila overrides a Tzaraas, so therefore Shabbos Shenitchem Ifnei Avodah, so Shabbos which is on the bottom of the chain. Ein Oidin Shetein Mila Derech HaYisrael, if Mila can push away Tzaraas, surely Mila can push away Shabbos. That's what the Tana thought in the beginning. So what made him change his mind? My oy einoy de kamar hader. My oy kamar. Why is it? Maybe I'm wrong. As if he changed his mind. As if to say that maybe when the Torah says don't desecrate the Shabbos, mila is included, and then he had to find another source for it. Hader amar. Maybe my whole logic is wrong. Who said that the reason why tzaras can push away avoda and avoda Shabbos is because Shabbos is weakest and Tzaraas is strongest? Maybe Shabbos is the strongest. You get skillet for Shabbos and all that. And Tzaraas is the weakest. So how come a Kohen has Tzaraas cannot serve? Because the Kohen is not fit to serve. Because he has Tzaraas. He can cut it off. He doesn't achieve anything. Because even if he cuts off the Tzaraas, he has to wait until, he has to go to mikveh and then wait until that night, the sun sets. So that day, avodah he cannot do anyway. And we're not planning for the next day. We're talking about the imminent today. So therefore, it's the problem with Tzaraas, not because Tzaraas is a bigger avera than or more significant than working the Beis HaMikdash, is that Tzaraas deems this coin to be unfit. So it's nothing to do with, therefore, how can you make a kawachim and say that, and Mila push away Tzaraas? What's one thing to do with another? Tzaraas is stricter, Shabbos is far stricter and makes sense, Shekain Yej, but Oinchin, but Azor Haber, so many mitzvahs and the punishments are so severe. And who said the reason why Tzaraas denies the coin the opportunity to avoid it? And because Tzaraas is strict, the coin is totally unsuitable to do the avoda. If so, so how do I know that you can do a bris on Shabbos? And maybe bris cannot be done on Shabbos. And you can't make a logical kavu chaymer based on Tzaraas. With a coin. Therefore, he invokes the pasuk b'yom even on Shabbos.
So we have a similar brayse. Now, what Rabbi learned, mila deiches tzaras, mila, if you're circumcising a child, it pushes away tzaras, whether it's the due date, whether it's a postponed bris, bein bizmana, bein shaloi bizmana, a bris always cuts off the tzaras. But yomtiv, if you want to do a bris on yomtiv or on Shabbos, only if it's bizmana, it's a due date. If it's a postponed bris, you have to wait. Ein deich ele bizmana bavad, only pushes away if it's bizmana. No, and mila. How do you know that? So how do you know that mila can push away tzaras in all instances, while yontif Shabbos it cannot? So it sounds like that Shabbos is stricter than tzaras. Talmud Rabbi learned yimel p'sar losa, he should circumcise p'sar losa afa pishi yesham baheres. It says the pasuk you should circumcise regardless of what's there, whether there's leprosy there, yokes, he should cut it off. Ah, you mani mekayim. What do I do with the pasuk where it says yishomer b'negat tzaras? Be careful, you're not allowed to cut off a tzaras. We're talking about b'shamer kaim is chutz mila. About everywhere else. Except where the bris is. Oy ena ela filamilo. Maybe he's talking about even a bris. Umani, maybe also a bris is not allowed to cut where there's tzaras. Umani mekayim yima b'saralosa bizman she'ein b'beheres. Maybe only when there's no leprosy there. Tamalayme, therefore it says the pasuk, it says b'sar, afalpi she'yesham b'beheres. It says you should mala b'sar or losa. Even if there is a b'beheres there, you have to cut. So first to start off one way of thinking. And first it started off that you can mala in all cases, even, and then we change our mind, maybe it's not so. What happened here? Why in the beginning he thought mila definitely pushes cuts off tzaraz, and he said maybe it's not so, and he has to bring a pasuk. This is going to be exactly the opposite period, right? I thought definitely you should circumcise even those beheres. On leprosy, that's talking about ordinary cases. Outside of mila, I would have thought that mila. Why? Because mila is so powerful. My time at the asim kavuchayim, and because of the same kavuchayim before. My Shabbos chamur mila. If Shabbos, which is so stringent, yet you can circumcise on Shabbos, tzaras lekoshkin. Surely mila should be able to push away tzaras because Shabbos is stricter than tzaras. This is exactly the opposite of the previous brayse where we thought tzaras is stricter than Shabbos. Here we're saying we thought that Shabbos is far stricter than tzaras. And Rashi in another place tells us, not here, tells us that the Gemara has a habit sometimes of learning one way in one brayse and then learning exactly the opposite in another brayse. Tesis has a problem. How can the Gemara change its whole attitude? But that's how Rashi learns there. All right, so what changes mind then? So if mila is stricter than Shabbos, then surely it should push away. Shabbos is so strict, so surely mila should push away tzaras. Why did he change his mind? And he's a pasuk. How do you know Shabbos chamira? How do I know that Shabbos is stricter than tzaras? Dilma tzaras chamira. Maybe the initial thought of the previous brayse is correct, that tzaras is stricter than Shabbos. Shekein deiches avoid deiches Shabbos. Like we initially said before, that tzaras pushes away the kohen from working, and a kohen working overrides Shabbos, so tzaras is stricter. And therefore, just because a bris you can perform on Shabbos doesn't mean that you can perform a bris and remove the tzaras. Tamalayim b'sar, therefore you need the pasuk of b'sar, b'sar olosei. V'alfa pishyeshan b'heres. Okay, so here you have exactly the opposite before, but that's why you need the pasuk. But lichna achrinah, there's another version that mila doiches tzaras. You know why circumcision pushes away tzaras? My timer, because the osei asei v'dochi loisei. You have a mitzvah asei of bris mila. You have a loisase of removing tzaras, and the osei doiches loisei. That's what the b'raisa thought initially. So why did the Brayser change his mind and had to bring in the Pasuk? Umay oy einay dekamar, hadekamar. Then he thought to himself, well, I'm making a mistake. The rule is, a single asay can push away a loisase. Right? Tzitzis pushes away klayim. But if the loisase is bound together with another asay, the asay does not have the capacity to push away an asay and a loisase. The Rivon Chulin of Kuf Mem Aleph and Tosfos there says that when we say that an asay cannot push away an asay and a loisase, it doesn't mean it cannot push anything away. It will push the loisase away, but you'll remain with still an asay. If you proactively do an avera, you'll be over an asay. And by being inactive, even though you didn't do the asay you had to, it's a sheval taisa, you didn't do anything wrong. But if you proactively go ahead and do what you have to do, like if you can do a mila in the tzaras, there's an asay and a loisase there. And then, and therefore, because there's an asay and a loisase, it says hishomer b'negat tzaras. That's an asay. Be careful with it. And then it says don't remove it. And if you're going to remove it because of bris mila, okay, you didn't do the aveda of removing it, the loisase, but you still committed the aveda of the asay of hishomer b'negat tzaras. Yeah, that's how the revolves. And there's a beautiful note. You've heard of that in Chavi Beis. Anyway, I mean, I say Wednesday, I say push away loisasa greater, only if it's a loisasa. Hi, I say viloisasa who. Here it's an assay and a loisasa. Ma ani mekayim yimer besar losay. So now that I see that one that a bris, you cannot do a bris on the tzaras because it's an assay and a loisasa versus an assay. Is bizman shein beheres. When you do a bris, when there's no beheres, that's why I need a pasuk. Tamlo the besar, the flesh, any kind of flesh, af apishesh and beheres. Says the Gemara, that pasuk where it says psar olosa is talking about an adult who says if he doesn't do his bris, he will get kares. So obviously, from an adult, teina godel. So we're talking about an adult. The chsiba who it says the psar. By an adult it says psar, we know you can remove the leprosy. Cotton namik sibe. By cotton also it says b'yayim hashmini yimo psar olosa. It says the word psar. Okay, but b'yayim minolam between 8 days. In other words, if your meal is delayed until your bar mitzvah, how do we know that you can mala circumcise where there was a tzaras? We don't have the word psar for that interim age. Rabbi says, Asya mibenayu. We learn from between the two of them. Begodle asya, you can't learn from a godle, a 6-month-old baby, you cannot learn from an adult, you can't honor kodos. That person is liable, that person, if the father has a chiva bris milah, or the bezin, big argument whether Klal Yisrael is just the bezin, but if the father has a mitzvah bris milah, and then when the child is 13, he takes over responsibility. So you can't compare a 6-month-old child to a bar mitzvah boy because there's no punishment here. Okay, mikotn las, you can't learn from a cotton, she came with mana, that's in the right time. Hatzada shavash man, what's the common denominator? She came in meilin v'deichin as a tzaras. They both get circumcised, and during the circumcision, you cut off the leprosy. Av kol shen in meilin, anybody who has an obligation to be circumcised, deichin as a tzaras. That's how Abai learns. Rava says, mila bizmana deichin leitzicha ka. He says, mila bizmana, to tell me that an 8-day-old, you can cut off the tzaras, you don't need a pasuk. Mekavachayma asya. You learn from mekavachayma. Uma Shabbos, the chamida doich, the tzaras, ma the Shabbos was so stringent. And yet, the doich, bris milah can push away Shabbos, tzaras like koshkein. Surely you should push away tzaras. So the Rabbi therefore says, you have a pasuk by an 8-day-old that says Bayem Hashmini Yibsar Losei, but for an 8-day-old you don't need it. If a child could push away, this goes like a second brayso. If a child could push away Shabbos, surely a child could push away. It's like this conclusion of the first brayso that Shabbos is stricter than tzaras. So if a Shabbos can push away, if Mila can push away Shabbos, surely Mila can push away tzaras. And if Mila, so what do we do? The pasuk Yibsar Losei for a kid over 8 days old, between 8 and 13. Omelet Rapsafla Rav, so Rapsafla asked Rav a question, Mimai, the Shabbos Chamida, who told you that Shabbos is strict, Dilma Tzalaz Chamida, we go back to the initial thought of the first Bryce, and that's the conclusion, but to the Mushkul edition, the first way of thinking, Mushkul edition, that what, maybe that Tzalaz is actually stricter, and we see that, Shekin Deiches Avoida, Tzalaz denies the Koyin the opportunity to avoid it, and yet Avoida is strict in Shabbos, Avoida is strict in Shabbos. So therefore we need a Pasik for an 8-day-old that you can bring a Tzalaz. Says Rav, no. I believe that if that Shabbos is far stricter than Tzaras, and we don't need a pasuk to tell you that an 8-day-old baby can cut off the Tzaras if you can be mal on Shabbos. What about the fact that a Tzaras prevents the Kohen Avoda? As we said in the conclusion of the previous writer, it's not the strictness of Tzaras, it's because it deems the Kohen unfit. The person is not fit. Ask the Gemara, why isn't he fit? Amai v'yikait b'haros. Why didn't he just cut off his leprosy? The Yavoid, and she served then. So what are you telling me that he's not fit? Cut it off, he'll be fit. So the Gemara, he's still not fit. Because mechusat tefillah, he still has to go to the mikveh. And then he has to wait for Herod Shemesh. So because he has to go to the mikveh, he's not fit at all. That's why the Tzaras renders the Kohen posel. So the Gemara, that makes sense. Negoyim tamei. You know, we have leprosies that are tamei, which is the majority, but we also had a couple of dinim of leprosy which are tore. We learned, for example, that if the entire body is covered with this leprosy, you're actually tore. So the chayim negoyim tamei to make him. Why can't you cut that off the kohen? He's still tore and he can serve straight away. Ela Omer Ravashi. That's Ravashi. What are you telling me that tzaras makes him unfit and you cannot? And that's why he cannot serve. So why can't this person who has a tardika tzaras serve and cut it off? He's not unfit, he's very fit. Doesn't that prove my point that tzaras is actually stricter than avoid, and that's why he cannot serve, according to Rav Safra. Elo Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi has a very important rule. Heicha amrinan, and this is the rule we say throughout Shas. When do we say esa deicha loisese if they both happen in tandem? But if they don't happen in tandem, one happens first and another one happens later, there's no esa deicha loisese. If I got, like we called mitzvah bo baveda. Like, why did you say esa deicha loisese? You stole matzah. You stole a lulav. You should be yitzah. The assay of lulav should push away the loisese of stealing. And the answer is not happening at the same time. First you stole, and then you're doing the mitzvah. I mean, there are many other answers, but that's one of the answers. Hey, I mean, when you say, I'll say, Esev Adecha Loisezek in Mila Mitzaras, there it's happening simultaneously. Inami Titzes, the Klaim, or Titzes and Klaim, the Be'idna, the Mis'akalav, while you're committing the Avera, come on, come on, say, you're fulfilling the mitzvah. They both happen concurrently. Hoch over here, Be'idna, let's say the Tzaras, by a Koyim. You're going to cut off the Tzaras first, and then the Koyim should work. Hoch over here, Be'idna, the Mis'akel alav, when you're cutting off the teras, loike mukem asei, you are not doing the asei at all. So in other words, the teras is not stricter than Shabbos. Shabbos is far stricter. But why does teras prevent the koyin from doing the avodah? Because it's not a real esedoy chalosisa. Why is it a real esedoy chalosisa? Because it's not simultaneous. It's two different times. When you're cutting off the teras, he's not yet fulfilling the mitzvah. Like tzitzis and klaim, it happen concurrently. And so on and so forth. And it's not due to Chumra of Tzaras. Says the Gemara, "V'hadu Rav Psafra Tanoi." This point of Rav and Psafra is actually a machlekes Tanoi. Time we learned Psar, Afa Pisha Yeshon Behedes Yimel. According to him, we learned from a pasuk Psar that even though there's a Beheres, in other words, we do need a pasuk for an 8-day-old to tell you that he can cut off the Tzaras. And the pasuk is Psar, which leaves the question, so how do you know a 9-day-old baby you can cut off the Tzaras? And we have to follow a bayu, says Mibbeinayu, from the two of them together, from an 8-day-old and a bar mitzvah. And I'm not, Yenison says, like Rava, ain't it tzadik, which Rava's like Yenison. You don't need to. Shabbos chamura doiche Tzaras like koshke. If Mila can push away Shabbos, which is stricter, surely can push away Tzaras, because Tzaras is not as strict. I.e., Tzaras prevents the Kohen from going because it's not simultaneous, or because it's not fit and proper. Okay, we'll stop over here.